be back home and be in service with you this morning. And Sandy, I thank you for being studious this week so we could have a good word from the Lord. Come on and minister to us this morning. Give her a hand clap of appreciation as she comes, all right? Thank you so much.
Oh man, he made me cry when he talked about that because I'm a football freak, and especially Dallas. I have been for 100 years, and when I remember watching that, and that just really resonated in my own spirit. It's like, whoa, yeah, because I was in my room, in my living room, and talking to the TV, go! So I get it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for what's already taken place. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name, your holy name, and just thank you, Father, for your presence this morning and for your word this morning, and Father, just for what you have to share with us, what you are going to share with us this day, Father. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh. Well, as I was preparing for today, and I was, you know, in my different places where I study, and I just kind of move around, I was just asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to bring this morning? And the thought that kept coming to me, a couple of different thoughts actually, but the one that I ended up as my title was finishing well. As I began to think about this time of this year, we're coming into December, we're coming into the end of the year, we're coming into wrapping up all the things that you know, the Lord has put on our plate, that man has put on our plate, that we have put on our own plates, that as we are coming to the end of this year, in my own mind, I've got things that I need to do and to prepare for the end of the year. And I began to think of my own self, my own spiritual self. And I began to think, okay, Lord, if I'm going to finish well, what are some of the things? And so as I began, and really, be honest with you, that was kind of for me. But then he began to just kind of make it, open it up for us. And I began to look at some different things. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to my heart and is for you. There are about three different things up front, and I got another one for some other things. But the first one was, do we need to forgive anyone? Is there something on our heart or on our plate, or somebody has offended us? Is there something that somebody has hurt us or harmed us in our own being? And the Lord says, Sandy, we can't leave. Obviously, we're not supposed to leave a day. But it's like, don't leave this time without making it right. I remember the scripture that says, if you have something against someone or someone against you, so if there's something between you and a certain person, don't even bring your petitions to me. Don't even bring your prayers to me. Just set them over here on the altar. Go take care of business and come back. That has been a scripture that has followed me all my, at least my thinking days, because I don't want anybody to rob me any more than maybe they already have. If I'm frustrated with somebody or a situation, I don't want any more taken from me. And so I have made that kind of like my own little thing for my own heart. And he said, Sandy, there's going to be people in the audience this morning that have ought, the old-fashioned word, have something against somebody. And I want them to clean it up. I want them to forgive. Even if it's like, I have forgiven, but dadgummit, don't let. He says, forgiveness is unconditional. Forgiveness is total. Forgiveness is you walk away and you don't repeat it and regurgitate it and think about it and dream about it and then think about it some more. Forgiveness means it's done. And he says, there are people here this morning that are harmed in their very spirit being because they have not forgiven. That it is literally ripping up something deep inside of them because they won't let it go. And even though they say they have, by golly, I'm done with it. Deep down inside, you know you haven't truly. And the Lord says, make this day literally a point in the sand, a stake in the sand, that today is my day. I am truly, truly letting it go. And you and God know what that is. And then he says, not only if you need to forgive someone, maybe there is an issue where somebody needs to come to you and it's like, I'm not even going to take their forgiveness. I don't care. And the Lord's saying, yes, you do, because you're not going to rob them. It's like, yes, they've harmed me, but don't even come near me. The Lord says, you can't be that person. You have to be the better person, because that messes with you and your spirit and your relationship with your Heavenly Father as well. If they need to ask forgiveness, then you allow them to. You allow them to make it right for them. It's like, but it's not fair. No, this life is not fair. I can tell you there are things that have happened to each one of us, and life is just not fair. But it doesn't matter, because here's the deal. I am still resonating in my spirit with that 101,000 stadium of people waving the towels and thinking, but if we're in heaven, think about that. You know, the bottom line is this old world is not our home. We are just passing through. And the bottom line is there anything that's going to harm your relationship? Now, I'm not going to say it's going to keep you from heaven, but by golly, there's a scripture in the Word that's the wood, hay, and the stubble. Like when we get to heaven and we're standing before God, there is a scripture that talks about He is going to literally put His finger down and fire is going to go around our feet. And what are we going to be able to lift up to Him? Is it going to burn up and we're just going to say, we're glad we're here? Or is He going to be able to burn up this dross around us, and we're going to be able to pick up diamonds and rubies and jewels and hand them to our Father? There's a whole scripture, whole thing studied just about that. And it's like, I don't want to be standing before my Lord just getting there and not having anything to give back to Him. And it's like, Lord, let me be that person that it's like, well done, Sandy. You know, good job, my daughter. Good job, my son. Good job, my family. I want to be that person. I want to be able to be that person. I want to be better than the situation. I want to mature in that area so that I can be that person. The other thing the Lord put, there's different things He put on my heart. And one of them was, did we challenge ourselves this year to do something? One of my issues when I'm trying to make myself better all the time, it seems like, is to be more efficient. I have a lot that I do. I have like 3 jobs that I do. If I am not efficient, I get messed up. So sometimes I'm messed up. It just is what it is. And so sometimes I challenge myself to be better. And one of the areas I challenged myself in this year is, you know, most of you know when I come to church, and this isn't the one I usually bring, but it's one like this. I bring with me my notes, and I take notes. And Pastor can ask me back to like probably like 6-7 years ago, Sandy, what did I speak on that day? And I could tell him exactly what he spoke on. Every scripture that he gave, every illustration that he gave, the title of the crazy thing. And I mean, what we prayed about, because I got it at the top. That was my challenge that I challenged myself to, because I wanted to get the sermon inside of me. What I learned was when I was sitting in the audience, my mind was doing all this stuff because I got so much in my head that I had to do something to be present in the moment. That was my challenge. And then I had other challenges. But the one challenge that I really challenged myself to this last fall, well, actually, it started back in the winter or summer, was to journal beyond just journaling at church. And so we had a big thing that we did at our retreat, our Hope Restore retreat, and I did a teaching on journaling. And so when I went to California, they asked me to do a teaching, and I thought, you know what? I need to do that same one. And so as I was preparing, the Lord says, I want you to start a new journal, Sandy. It's like, one more thing. Okay, what? But He put it in my heart, and it was like, I want you to journal the 4 seasons. What? How do you journal the 4 seasons? And as I began to just sit quietly before Him, it was literally the day of fall. It was the beginning of fall. And He said, I want you to journal the 4 seasons. And I'm going, well, today is fall. And so as I began to, and so I brought my 4 seasons journal, and I just want to read you just the first page and a half. But this is the beginning, day 1, my fall journal, September the 23rd, 2016. It might have been like the day after, but I began thinking about it that day before. Today I want to begin my fall journal. Fall is a time when trees begin to lose their leaves, old things begin to fall off, things we no longer need are removed. It is time of reflection, time to look back, but also a time to move on, to look ahead. It is a time to slow down and think, what do I need to leave behind? Some things in my life have been used to its fullest. Now it's time for me to let them go. They may no longer be of any use to me. Don't let them hold me back. God gave me that. And then to help me not just journal words, I pick some things to pull out. And these are the, he said, pray for something or someone, something I would like to change in me, some of my circumstances, something I'm grateful for, at least one thing to pray for, a praise report, a verse for the day. And so out of that, number one, I'm so very grateful for my family. I am truly blessed. My husband loves me and takes care of me. My son is such a good father to his own kids. And my mom is still with me. And I'm so very glad. I would really like to be more organized. Pray for the Acosta families. One of our family members passed. Pray for you, Lord, I praise you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'd like to pray for our retreats this year, Lord. And then my scripture was Philippians 3, 12 through 16, and it goes on. But that was something that I challenged myself to do. And the Lord challenged me. So I'd like to challenge you. We're coming to the end of our year, and we're looking ahead. It doesn't have to be a journal. But it needs to be something. If we want to mature, if we want to move on, if we want to grow inside, we have to challenge ourselves. I was sitting there, you know, part of what I'm going to be speaking in a few minutes, the third part is not to take things for granted. And as I was sitting there a little while ago, and I was just really praying the Lord presence, and all of a sudden the Lord says, you take for granted, you sit here every week, and he has to get up and speak. I'm going, I really do, because now it's my turn, and I'm not taking it for granted. But challenge, he wants us this year as a body, but also individually, to challenge our spiritual person, not to make it so status quo, same old, same old, same old, same old, here we go again, same old. He's saying, challenge yourself spiritually. And you know what? I can't tell you what that is. Only God can. But if you go before him, and here's a thought, listen, listen to the Father, he will speak to you. He will give you what he wants you to do. And what he wants me to share with you this morning is he has some challenges for you this year, if you'll only listen. Mine was to do my seasonal journal. That was my challenge this year, to add that, because he wanted to speak to me about some certain things. He wants you to challenge yourself spiritually. I don't know what that is, but it's going to be between you and the Lord. And I'm excited for you, because I like my challenge. At first it was like, you know, just one more thing. Thank you very much. Really. And then I got into it, and it was like, whoa. See what he gave me? Those aren't my words. I'm not that smart. I mean, I'm just not. But he gave that to me, and I began to put it to paper. And now I can go back, and I can look at that. I'm going, dang, that was pretty good. Even I thought that was pretty good. But that was just God speaking to my heart. And I'm saying I'm an automatic writer. I'm not that weird. But he speaks to our heart. Sorry. I just like to see people going, oh gosh, there she goes. Does she even open her eyes? Yes, she does. God will speak to our hearts. He will tell us things. He will share things with us. And here's the key. Write them down. I try when words are given, although this was a scripture and I knew that one, but when words are given in the congregation, when people give words, I try and write them down, because I can promise you in about 5 minutes, they're gone. Right. I get ripped off. And if somebody says, what was the word? What did he say? And I'm like, ah. So I try and have paper with me when people give a word of knowledge to write it down, because I don't want to lose it. Okay. The next one was, I kind of mentioned, was about finishing well. And one of the areas that he kind of pointed to me, I mean, and I'm going to share it with you because he said what he shared with me is you guys are a part of it today. And that is not taking things for granted. And as he began to, I was like, yeah, that's the old adage, don't take anything for granted. And he began to bring things to my heart. And one of the things he brought to my heart was one of my good friends. He's an associate pastor in California. He's assistant pastor Tom Smith at the house in Modesto, one of the churches I used to go to. Love the guy dearly, just a wonderful person. He used to come to our ministry and teach on marriage. His ministry was he literally traveled all over the world and taught on marriage. And a few years, last year, just almost exactly to right now, their church is big. And sometimes people do crazy things in big churches. And there was a guy that came to church with a gun. And yeah, like 3,000 people, and somebody comes in the church with a gun, it was kind of scary. And so they decided that maybe we should have a hidden, you know, like a carry, what do you call that? Concealed weapon. So Pastor Tom said, I'll get my concealed weapon permit. So he decided to go to class, and he went to a class, and he made friends with the instructor. That's just Tom. He's just like that. He's a cool guy. He loves everybody. And he became friends with this guy. And so they, one of the days when they were just about done, they had their little phony guns, right? And they put all their little phony guns away. And the instructor put his Glock back in, his the real deal, back into his holster. And as they're getting ready to leave, one of the guys in the class said, what would happen if somebody came in with a knife? What would you do? Well, he also happened to be an instructor to help people, you know, in the fighting and stuff, you know, all the crazy fighting. And so he says, let me show you. He says, Tom, come here. So Tom came over and he goes, pretend like you have a knife. Tom goes, and the guy grabs his arm and he does the whole thing and he flips him around and they end up on the floor and Tom's all twisted around and all of a sudden, boom, that Glock went off and right into Pastor Tom's side. And it ripped him up good. And it was so close that it literally cauterized the wound. It was right on top of him. But what happened was he began to immediately bleed inside. I mean, just immediately filling up him with blood. It just ripped his intestines to pieces. He said, the Lord immediately spoke to him because he says, it just like somebody just took a vibrator and just vibrated him as hard as it could. His whole body just was shook. And he just laid there. First of all, he says, did you shoot me? And the guy goes, I think I did. Because it was so fast, and it was just, he was in shock. And all of a sudden, he says, I began to feel like I'm leaving. And the Lord said, are you ready to go? And he said, my first thought was, he just lost his grandson a couple of years ago. Little grandson was in a swimming pool, and he passed away. And it really hurt Pastor Tom. And he says, my first thought was, well, you know, he's there, and my mom and dad, who he loved dearly, is there. All of a sudden, he thought, wait a minute. My wife, I don't think she's ready for me to leave. And the ministry that he has in the church for family and marriage ministry, which he has every single week, they have a big old class. And he says, I've still got this to do. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, okay. And instantly, the Lord, it was like he was there, but he wasn't speaking to him. And he said, the next thing I realized, he said that I'm in an ambulance. And he said, I'm like in and out. Well, it took months. He ended up getting blood clots in his lungs. He got pneumonia. He got a staph infection in his wound that was huge, and they had to put a pump on him that he wore for 5 weeks to pump that gunk out of him. He ended up with the bag. I mean, he still had the bullet in him, and it was awful. And there were times when his family and pastor, our senior pastor, said, is he going to make it? And Tom, in his mind, never doubted, because he said the Lord spoke to him on the floor, are you ready to go? And he said no. So Tom says, I never doubted. Those around him did, because he just about left many times. He had a final surgery about 3 or 4 months ago where they took and changed out the bag, took out the bullet, and he's doing really, really good now. But here was the kicker that Pastor Tom said that really, really touched my heart and stuck with me. He said, when all of this was done and it was finally over, he said, the one thing that I got out of my spirit was how much I took for granted. How much that, he says, just even my breath in my body, I took for granted. And he says, I began to think of the things. And so I asked the Lord as I was preparing, and this was like my third part, that he wanted me to share. I said, Lord, okay, where are areas in our life that we take for granted? Where are the areas that you want us not to? He says, well, number one, he says, and he spoke this into my heart. He says, I'm a practical God. I'm going, I know. I know you are. He says, your job. And when you were speaking that this morning, it was like, oh, man, number one. He says, so many of us, he says, I provide for you a job. And to you, it's like, I got a job. Isn't that cool? Got a job. He says, I gave you the job. He says, I provided. Don't take it for granted. One of my close relatives who has had a job for a very, very long time. We're talking like getting ready to retire long time in a particular position, that she was even able to do it at home. It's one of those smart jobs you can do wherever. And just recently they said, well, guess what? We are outsourcing that to another country that we can pay about a third. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. And we want you to train them. And I thought, you know, that took a lot of grace to be able to stand up and do what she did. But she was blindsided. And the Lord said, don't take for granted the provision. The key word was provision. Don't take for granted the provision that I give to my kids. Be grateful for it every single day. Because provision can be removed. Don't take it for granted. He says, in this year, grateful for what I have provided. Food. Going, okay, food. I used to live with my grandparents for about seven years with my grandparents, and they had a grocery store. So I got to learn the grocery store business. One of the things I knew was that there's probably about 3 days worth of food on any store shelf at any given time. And if something bad were to happen, it would take hardly any time at all, and there would be no food on those shelves. And we're so used to saying, oh, I'm just going to go down and get some milk. Oh, I'm out of bread. Just run down and get some bread. You know, oh, and the Lord says, do not take for granted the fact you have food in your cabinets, because there are brothers and sisters around this world that have no food in their cabinets. It could be your neighbor, and it could be in another country, but there are people that have no food, and we take for granted provision. Something is simple in our mind, but he's saying, don't take it for granted. I am providing for you. Open your eyes and recognize provision. Our marriages. I have so many friends, Christian friends, good friends, that have gone through hell, and some of them not back, through their marriages. One of my good buddies not that long ago thought she had the best marriage ever until she didn't. The best marriage ever until she didn't. Lord says sometimes we take for granted our relationships, our marriages, our spouses. We take for granted because they're there. And we just expect they're going to do that. They're going to clean this. They're going to provide that. They're going to make this. They're going to do whatever. We take that for granted without being generous in return. Without being generous in return. Without giving a little extra in return. Without being kind in return. Without smothering them in return. But allowing them to be who they are in return. I am not going to lie. Ty, I know you, and I know some of your marriages. We're blessed. I have the best husband in the whole wide world. Has allowed me to travel the world and minister and do the things that God has put on my plate to do and never held me back one time. Not once. God has provided a man for me that allowed me to be all that God wanted me to be. But I don't take him for granted. And as soon as I do, I know it. We work daily at our marriage. We have a great marriage. But if you don't think we don't have to work for it, come close to our living room window sometime and if it's open. No, I didn't mean that way. I meant this way. Don't overdo that. Don't, you know, I mean, and it's like, okay, we're good. We do not end that without being able to hug, kiss, walk away. There isn't a day, I won't let a day go by that this thing isn't taken care of. We don't go to sleep. I mean, I'll stand there and stare at you like a puppy dog. We're going to take care of this thing, and it's just not going to happen that way. We're going to get her done. Marriage is something that God has given to us if you're in fact married. It is nothing to take for granted. It can be just like that, and it can be gone. And it's like, oh, that'll never happen to me. Excuse me, but I have lots of friends in the ministry, sorry to say, who thought they had a wonderful marriage, and guess what? It was good until it wasn't. It was good until it wasn't. And the Lord says, don't take what I have provided for you for granted. Love one another. That means 100%, 100%. When we first were going together, my mantra was, hey, we're 50-50. We're good. I'll give 50. He gives 50. That makes 100%. And then I wised up. Then it became, I give 100%. And he gives 100%. And sometimes it's 110 because I'll draw from the well. I am not wrong, but dadgummit, I don't want to walk away with a mess. I will take a part of extra and borrow it from God because I don't have it. And he'll help me do it. It doesn't matter if I'm right all the time. I used to have to be right all the time. Didn't matter. If I knew I was right, I was right. Dadgummit, I was right. And the Lord says, do you really have to be right? Is it worth having to be right? No. Another one was our families. Oh, man. This one's a hard one. Back in the area where I came from, we used to go fishing in a place called Fox Grove. Loved to go fishing in Fox Grove, not far from where we live. And just a couple of weeks ago, a deputy sheriff went down into Fox Grove, which is right off a main road, went down into that area, and a man executed him. I don't know if you saw it online or on television, but literally executed the man. Wonderful deputy sheriff in the DARE program, worked with the kids. I mean, he was just a big teddy bear. Nice guy, teddy bear, but still strong, but a teddy bear guy. Just super. One of my good buddies, her son is like one of the main sheriffs in the area, and I kept in contact with her. And it was awful. Awful, awful. He left that morning saying, I'll see you later, honey. I'll be back at, guess what? Pastor Tom told his wife, is what he said. He says, I told her, I'll be back by noon. You know, we're just doing our morning little gun thing. I'll be back by noon. But he wasn't back by noon, and he almost didn't come back at all. Lord says, we can't take our loved ones for granted. Not just our marriages, but our loved ones, our kids. And guess what, guys? We are family. We can't take this for granted. I am so blessed, and this isn't to whatever, I'm just blessed to be able to be on the board. I'm a corporate secretary for a Bible college in Cambodia, and they also have arms in Vietnam. I am blessed to be a part of that ministry. And here's the thing, what they go through to have church on a regular basis, we are blessed. We have chairs. We have a toilet that flushes. They have a hole in the ground with a bucket of water and a ladle next to it. I've been to those places. I know it's the real deal. We have so much. We're not afraid to come to church. But I'll tell you, there are places over there, they're afraid to go to church. They're afraid to preach the gospel. We take so much for granted right here in our own little family that we can come together and praise the Lord and worship Him. We take so much for granted. so much. And as a church body, we can't take that for granted. As we were praying and we were worshiping, and I love the worship this morning because it was just like one point after another on my sermon this morning. It was like, first one was like, oh, he must have read my notes. And then we ended up going, yes, I need your presence. I mean, it was just the whole thing. But as I was sitting there, I began to think of the individuals in this church. I began to see your faces in my mind, and I'm going, oh, she's precious. Oh, such a wonderful man, such a great father, such an amazing individual. And as I began to go through my other kid back there, it was like, oh, just love them. I mean, all my buddies that are here, you know, I was like, I just began to love on you in my spirit. It's like we have ministry together. You know, we, this little, right through here, these two little ladies right there, we have ministry together. You know, we do these things together. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to ever take my church family for granted. I love each and every one of you. I really do. And we as a family, I love it when Pastor says, now go give everybody a hug. Nobody wants to come back and sit down. It's like, you go, okay, well, let's get started. I know pastors like me, time is of the essence. You know? So let's get it back in our chairs. But I love it because it's like, oh, it's just, we're blessed. And we can't take our body for granted. I'm going to tell you something. There are churches, I don't know in this community, but in other communities, that are having trouble today, that are hurting inside their churches. They're thinking about splitting inside their churches, or have split and now they're hurting. Our church has such a bond, and we need to really hold on to that and not allow anything to rip us apart. The enemy hates good things. He hates marriage. He hates a good church body. He hates you getting a good job. He hates you having food on your table. The enemy likes to kill, steal, and destroy. We need to protect what God has given to us and protect it well. The last thing he wanted me to talk about this morning was our salvation. It's like, I don't take my salvation for granted. He said, some of us, collectively, including me, some of us take our salvation for granted. We get up in the morning and we take off. Did you even say good morning to God? We get in our car and we take off. Did you even say thank you that they didn't hit you when they almost did? Did we take for granted the fact that there are those that are dying for their faith, and we can without having to worry about that at this time? I mean, seriously, the Lord says we cannot take our relationship with our Father for granted. We just can't. Not just like any of our other relationships, our relationship with our Father needs to be cleaned up and made good and made pretty and just build it up every single day. It's not like I'm going to have a Bible study next week, or I'm going to open my Bible when I get to church, or I'm going to pray when I get in trouble, or when I need something. He's always there. Whenever I need something, he's always there. Well, dang, he needs to be there sitting next to you in your car when you're driving down the road. It's like all of a sudden we can just say, oh, hi, it's me. How are you, Lord? I'm here. And you know he's there, but did you show up? Did you show up? I like to be able to think that me personally, that this coming at the end of this year, that I will be better with my relationship with my Lord than I was when I started my year. If I can't grow spiritually every single year, then I am stagnant. Elizabeth Elliot had a thing. You can't steer a parked car. Like, what? You can't steer a parked car. You have to be moving. You have to be moving. Another one I like was Mark Twain. It says, even if you are in the right track, even if you are on the right track, you'll get run over if you stand there long enough. Listen again. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you stand there long enough. It's like, Lord, I don't want to be stagnant. I'm on the right track, but I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be sitting in a parked car. You can't steer a parked car. It won't go anywhere. Lord, I want to be moving forward. I want my year to end with you saying, well done, Sandy. You're not taking me for granted. You're challenging yourself. You know, you've forgiven those that you need to forgive. And if somebody needs to, in return, ask for forgiveness, you've received it. All the things that he put on my heart for this day, Lord, I want to leave this year with a nice bow on it so that when I start my new year, it's like not like, oh, I got to clean this up and fix this up and prepare that done. No, when I leave this year, I want to leave this year thinking, put it on the shelf. Well done, Sandy. Good job. You did what you're supposed to do. Now look ahead. Then January comes. Now let's take inventory. What do I need to do this year? Where do you want me to go this year? But you can't start the new year without leaving the old one intact and done the way God wants you to do it. He's not going to give you a bunch of new stuff when you got a bunch of junk in the trunk in the back. You didn't finish it. It's still back there. It's still stuff that needs to open up, clean it out, freshen it up, do it right, put it away so he can give you your new year. Finishing well. I want to finish well this year. I want to walk out of my year this year with the Lord saying, good job, Sandy. You did it. You did it well. But you say, well, how do I know? I'll tell you how you know. You get in a place where it's just you and the Lord, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I've got my little tablet, and I want to hear from you. What do I need to do to finish well this year? What are some of the areas of my life that I have let just lapse? It's just not whatever. Is there something in my heart, something down inside of me that I need to say, you know, I really do forgive you? And here's the deal. Not all the time do you have to go to that person and ask for forgiveness, because sometimes I've done that and it caused more problems than not. I just had to do it in my own heart, because going to that person because they're not ready to receive it will actually open up a festered wound and make it even worse. I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But in your own heart, between you and God, you know what, Lord? They may not be ready, but I'm ready to let it go. They're not going to ride on my back into the new year. It's like, here they come. They're still with me. No, knock them off. Let them stay in the old year with a right spirit and a right attitude and let it go. And let's just see where God is taking us. And then taking things for granted. It's so easy to do. But the Lord can say, you know what? Just look around you. Give thanks for the things that I have given you. Don't despise your humble beginnings where you're at, because I'm going to take you here. Don't forget the provision that I have for you. Be grateful for what is on your shelf. And don't worry about tomorrow, because I already have it in my hand ready for you. So trust me for the rest. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. Truly, God, we are grateful. We're grateful for our family here in this church. We're grateful for each and every one that is sitting around us, and those we may not know quite as well, but we want to. Help us to make that our challenge this year, to just step out and get to know them even better. Father God, help us to be the best wife, the best husband, the best son, the best daughter, the best parent, the best coworker we can possibly be. Father, I know that when I walk into a room and I feel the presence, this could be one person in there that's just got your power and your presence so strong in them, I know who that person is. God, I want to be that person that when somebody walks in, it's like, whoa, what's going on in here? Whoa. It's God in her. Lord, I want to be that person, and I know we all do, that when we are in a place, we make a difference. We don't take it for granted, the fact that you're with us, but that we want to exude that and take you everywhere we go and make a difference everywhere we go. Thank you, Father. We want to finish well. We want to finish well. So thank you, Father, for just giving us some hints, preparing us to get out of this rest of this year, to help us to do what you want us to do. You're giving us direction. Father, we will take your direction. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.